football on off the ball.
To start with my brother from another mother, Patrick Kluivert, you had Edgar Davids, you had Frank Rijkaard, you had, and if I need to name one, Frank Rijkaard was of course the man.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeebo going on his own, he gets the try!
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line, try for Munster!
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello, you're very welcome along to the Red 78. Unfortunately, the last episode of the Red 78, because Munster's season is over. A big defeat to the Bulls in South Africa, season growth of the URC. We're going to go over all that, all everything to do with the game, and we're going to look back at the season as a whole, and we're going to look ahead to next season, see if there's any optimism for next season after the campaign that Munster have just had. Delighted, as always, to be joined by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes to talk all things Munster rugby. Guys, how are you?
Good, Rory. What a way to go out. We thought it might be a close game. I think we were very wrong in our predictions, but we did feel like there was going to be a little bit of fight there, but unfortunately the Bulls were too good. So I think that kind of set the tone for the rest of my weekend anyway. So it wasn't great, the bank holiday.
Mr. Quinlan, how are you?
Good, thanks. Yeah, it was obviously disappointing. Not surprising in a sense that, you know, the Bulls are kind of a knockout team, and just the strength and power they had, and so many South African internationals, World Cup winners, and Munster with so many injuries. I think that's probably the frustrating thing. I would have loved to have seen Munster with a bit of power and ballast there, because they did show at times where when they held onto the ball, they caused the Bulls some problems. But yeah, look, it's not a surprise. It's a disappointing end to the season. And probably at this stage, it's just draw a line in it now. I know there's a review ongoing. The coaches will obviously have to review what they're doing and the whole rugby program. But there's a bigger review obviously going on. And I've said it probably a few times in the last few weeks. Hopefully it's the worst it can be, and that things can get better now, and some positive stories can start to come out, and to get a good start to next season, and learn from probably some of the mistakes on the field, off the field, and get some positivity going.
All right, we'll talk about the match in a sec. We've had some comments into us, Fiona Hayes, and a lot of frustrated Munster fans out there.
Yeah,
are we not calling her Fiona Slot anymore? Her uncle got the sack.
I'm not gone yet. Yeah.
Her uncle Arne Slot got the sack there in Liverpool as well. So,
do you know what? It was actually while you were working. I was listening to you on the TV, and the news came over my phone. I said he's probably watched after seeing that now flashing on his phone during the game. But yeah, look, new start for Liverpool as well, Quinny. We're happy days. Lots of stuff coming in. Thanks again, guys. Some of them I probably can't read out. Just a lot of bad language in there. But I will say Paul sent in a stand up and replaced the F with an SH. It did give us a bit of a laugh. Dave Ahern has, there's a lot of excuses given. You ask if McMillan should be given another season, but no one can seem to point out any area on the pitch that's improved under his coaching. Tactically, he's been poor and his selection's questionable. Is there any positives you've seen under him? Peter O'Flynn, bring second-hand players in, get second-hand rewards. A clear out of the top is required, and do not mean the coach. Munster have been completely mismanaged for more than 10 years at an executive level, and until that changes, nothing will improve underneath. Trevor says season turned up to December. We had clarity of intent with one way to play. Simplicity, we were playing at speed. After that, we lost all capacity for ball handling, lineouts and scrummaging. High point was Argentina. Keane McGivney, again, the season ended unfortunately the way the season went after the Stormers loss in Toman Park. It was a high beating Leinster back in October. Plenty of work at boardroom level to be done, as well as coaching appointments to be made in the summer. Must do better next season. And Brian Laller, all I can say is I hope the powers that be look at the Irish 20s carefully this summer and make the right decisions for our future. And thanks for the pod. Another great year of chats.
Well, thanks for those messages. I'm going to get you, both your opinions on the game, Alan Quinn. Let's start with yourself. Like, the Bulls just on Saturday were bigger, more clinical, faster, more physical. This is a bit of a reality check for Munster, I think, was it?
Yeah, look, it wasn't a surprise, Rory. And look, the comments are, I think we when we started this podcast, first and foremost, it was to try and engage with supporters and try and give them a voice as well of their opinions. We've tried our best to read them out. Some of them are fairly damning that I've seen. Fiona hasn't read them all out, and we respect them all, but there's a frustration there. I think there's a frustration of and a lot of what's coming up is probably where the club is run behind the scenes. I go back to what I said about reviews in 2016, where it kind of opened a can of worms when I was outspoken about that. And it does feel like, even though, you know, we know there's an internal review going on, we don't know when that'll be out. But it is time for a reset and a look at all positions behind the scenes, try and get structurally, get some transparency, get some trust within the organisation again with the fans, but trust for the staff as well, because I'm sure Clayton McMillan, he hasn't a clue what's hit him this year with everything that's gone on. The systems, the way it's run, all that kind of stuff. And who does he trust? Who does he not trust? Where all this stuff is broken down. Finances are an issue, of course. I've probably said over the years that, you know, Munster, the three overseas signings, they need to go and sign three world-class players. It's not as easy as that. But you have to have the ambition to try and find a way to bring in outside money. I know lots of people who would like to help out, in the sense of, we had a situation years ago with Damien Dialende and RG Snyman, where there was outside money came in to top up their contracts, that you could get two World Cup winners. It feels like it just needs a little injection like that, where you bring in, you know, Marius van der Merwe is the only overseas signing at the moment. I know Alex Nankivell is overseas. Next year, maybe the end of next year, he becomes Irish qualified. So there's one position available. There's talks that it's in the Tighthead area that they want to bring somebody in. Will they get a little bit of leeway to get a fort? Again, these laws or rules are not set in stone. But I do think, like, and look, Connacht and Ulster will argue that their point, that they need help and support as well. Munster needs, aside from this review, they need the IRFU to have a close look at this whole setup as well, and David Humphreys to look and see what's needed, what's required here, structurally making it better. And again, look, you know, the idea of the four provinces from the IRFU's point of view is that they become self-sufficient, that they start generating their own funds, that there's not an over-reliance on the union every time to bail people out. All squads are being cut a little bit. There is a tightening of the belt around finances. So it's not easy, but it does need a real structural review from top to bottom, and just try and find out where this all kind of went wrong, and where, like, aside from the Roger Randall stuff or the redundancies, which is weighed heavily on the province, I think the inconsistency around the performance and some of the comments are, yes, what has Clayton McMillan brought? Where's the identity? It's difficult. And I think he's come into a group last summer not really knowing any of the individuals and trying to chop and change and get to know people. And it's been difficult. I think if he'd his time back, maybe he would have, you know, not made as many changes. Some of them were through injury, some of them were through necessity to try and keep players fresh. So it's difficult. But the quality and depth of the squad is not good enough. There is some very good players in there, and I'm not saying, oh, cast people away or anything. I mean, it just needs, they need some top-class players to come in, if they can, and drive the standards. I just look at Jordan Henderson, who's in English Soccer World Cup squad. A lot of people questioning his selection. A lot of people saying he's 35. He doesn't start every week for Brentford, so it shouldn't make sense that he's in an England squad. But I've read loads of stuff, in a sense, and this isn't a Liverpool bias thing or anything. I've read loads of stuff that he's a standard driver as regards training, attitude, commitment, desire, all that kind of stuff. And I know people who probably haven't played sport, or maybe, I don't mean disrespectfully, at a high level, having a couple of guys in there who may not be starters, but are driving in standards. Keith Earls, Peter O'Mahony, Murray, Conor Murray, you know, these guys, and they helped drive that standard in 23 when they won it. It's, again, it's not something you can just get a magic wand and do that, but the group looks like it's lacking leaders and personality, and all the small things that they get better at that next year will help them improve as a team and become more resilient and robust and more consistent. Like, the players have got to take a lot of this in the chins themselves, because they were very, very inconsistent. And throughout the whole season, we're talking about a lot about, oh, you know, and to quote Clayton McMillan, we get punched in the face and get a bloody nose, and then we react the week after. But then it drops again. So there's, you know, of course, and I'm not absolving coaches here, the coaches have to take responsibility as well. But you just feel it needs a couple of Jordan Hendersons in there. Tyburn is away a lot, you know, with the internationals. Craig Casey fits that bill. He's away with the internationals. You just need, people need to step up, grow up, and have a real maturity. And look, I may be wrong, but I think, and that may seem very innocuous, but it definitely helps. And the evidence of, if anyone who comes back to me wants to say it, and I don't mean disrespectfully to anyone, the performances, bar the first five games, they've been so inconsistent.
Yeah.
And I mean, those first five games, you could have, Cardiff 23-20 in round two. That Cardiff could have won that game. I did the commentary for it. Edinburgh 2019 in Cork. Edinburgh could have easily won that game. Round four was a, that was the one that gives so much enthusiasm against Leinster and Croker. Okay, the bigger picture is you win the game, but the fight was just at a really high level. They were so intense around the breakdown, their line speed, their body language, a little bit of niggle within them. It dropped off then, which is a little bit understandable against Connacht at home the week after. They won 17-15. It was unconvincing. Connacht caused them some problems. But, like, it was a great start, and you take that, but it did paper over some cracks and issues. And it was kind of like Liverpool playing. They win their first five league games, and they totally... The reality and the truth came out around their inconsistencies. So Munster's inconsistencies have been a problem, and the players have got to take that on board. And to be fair, the uncertainty around Clayton McMillan a few weeks ago, whether he's staying or going, and I'm sure he was very frustrated with the Roger Randall thing and the whole way thing had played out and all that stuff. But I feel he just needs an opportunity to draw a line in the sand this year, sit down with his own coaches and his own group and try and, you know, develop a structure and a standard around the player playing a squad, and bring in some young players, try and upskill them and get them involved. And the only way you do that is by playing matches and just get a bit of enthusiasm and vigor back in the group. Because there is some very good players there's no doubt about that. I think when you go down into the depth, it becomes, and like most teams, if you lose 8, 10, 12 players for a quarter final of a URC, most squads would be struggling very much so. So that's the mitigation at the weekend, but the overall inconsistency hasn't been there. And the fans know it. And I think I've always said this, and I'm consistent saying this, if you have fight, spirit, passion, commitment, desire in your performances, the Munster fans will clap and applaud that. There's no one under any sort of false illusions. I saw one message coming through. Would it be better next year in Europe to actually go out and play young players in the four pool games and kind of forfeit it, in the sense of, we're not going to win that competition anyway, and give them opportunities to expose them to European rugby? And the answer is no, because you can't do that in Europe, and we've too much DNA involved in the competition. Mm-hmm. But there is a case of throwing caution to the wind a little bit next season in the URC, and just trying to bring some true young bring through some young players. And then the guys who get shifted to the side who don't start, it's up to them then to raise their standards to that Jordan Henderson type drive, desire. And the Munster fans will applaud that, because there's no expectation out there that, oh, Munster are going to win a URC and a European Cup, because we're further away from that than we've probably ever been. But that can be turned fairly quickly with positivity and momentum moving forward. So that's, you know, the Munster fans, they feel it, and it affects everyone. And it's very difficult then for staff and people, because aside from the financial pressures and the redundancies that were requested, you know, if you go on kind of struggling and the crowds come down a little bit, it'll start to affect the club more and more and more and more and more people. So it's difficult, and there is a lot of responsibility when you put on a Munster jersey. But the one thing I will say is, and I give credit to the players and the coaches in the last couple of weeks, obviously it's a difficult loss to go out, but they have shown plenty of fight. Mm. And I want to see that. And we can start delving into quality and trying to improve the team in little parts then. They have shown it, but it hasn't been consistent enough this year, and they've got to take this on the chin. Looking at back at the Bulls game, the power and the strength that they have, they scored 6 tries. Munster scored 2 tries. It was sporadic bursts, really. The first 10-15 minutes was like, oh my God, this is the worst possible start. And they very nearly blew Munster away. I think there was 2 tries disallowed. It was 14-0. Munster's reaction was brilliant. They got it back to 17-14, right from the kickoff. Alex Nankivell, who had a really good game, to be fair. And but I'm not sure he should be catching a kickoff like that in the position he's in. I think Brian Gleeson, your number 8, has to be catching that, or one of your back rows, or your right winger coming onto it a little bit. He was in a standing position, gets tackled. Cameron Hannicombe, who had a great game, gets a turnover penalty, kick to the corner, try. That's right from the, you know, some basic errors as well were frustrating. The defence was all over the shop at times. They were very narrow, and the Bulls changed tact from the game in March. They tried to punch around it very tight to the rucks, with wingers picking and going and different backs coming in trying to pick and go and then spreading the ball wide. They had 21 clean breaks in the game. Munster at 6. That's way too many. The kicks retained, 7 kicks retained by the Bulls. Munster 1. And that was another significant part of that first half and the damage that was done. Shane Daly's kicked the touch for the second try. It was kicked straight to Ville Leroux, and they counter-attacked, and Curtly Aronson scores. That's got to be put in the stand. So when I talk about standards in the first piece I'm talking about, it's all those simple things that they need to understand better about managing tempo when you're away from home, holding on to the ball. Niall Scannell early on in the game gathered a ball when the Bulls made a break up the far side of the field, set it up, Michael Alalatoa, forward pass, scrum, trouble again straight away. You know, small things, players slipping off tackles. So, yeah, look, it's they certainly tried, and they've 38 missed tackles in the game. They were under immense pressure, and it could have got really, really ugly. Uglier, it was ugly, obviously. In that second half, because it was kind of all over the shop in the last 20 minutes, wasn't it? And yeah, so look, they're very powerful, and they're so strong. And the scrum, of course, you know, Munster held their own and a couple of their own balls, which was admirable, but got blown away too many times, and it was 5 scrum penalties in the game. Again, no scrum, no win. So a lot of stuff going on there, and just in the game itself, it was always going to be very difficult. You're missing so many players, and I just think it was too tall an order for Munster. I was kind of optimistic, and Fiona said the same last week, that they could have found something and made it tricky for the Bulls, but on the balance of it, you know, the Bulls just blew them away. And it was not a major surprise.
Well, that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to the second part, you can become an Off the Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Go Loud app, Apple, Spotify, or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot,